Tonight, I hope to entertain you with God's Word for about the next 30 minutes, speaking on the subject, the devices of Satan. And our thoughts is very prominently brought out in Paul's letter to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Therefore, my text tonight, the devices of Satan. The Apostle Paul knew the cunning craftiness of the devil. Paul knew that the devil had called into service every misrepresentation, every falsehood, and every wicked and diabolical thing that cunning hands can devise. Therefore, the Apostle Paul admonishes us by saying, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And brother, sister, listen to me. The devil is using all the connivory, skullduggery, humbuggery, and hoodwinkery that he might thwart the Lord and his kingdom. Therefore, it behooves each and every one of us to be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, the devil, the ringleader of hell, he looks down upon God's creation and he thinks like this. I intend to gain everyone that I possibly can to my side. And you know, God had no sooner than created Adam and Eve until the devil came along. And with his falsehood, he succeeded in getting the only two of God's creation. Now, I have about 10 devices of Satan here on the board. So then Satan's going to do all he can to tear down. And listen, I'm speaking this to you folks in love with no chip on my shoulder whatsoever. Come here for the sincere purpose of preaching God's word and doing all the good that I possibly can. Now the devil, he looks down and he thinks like this. Why, if I can get everybody down there on earth to not believe in God, why, that'll save me a lot of trouble. If I can just get everybody to just go atheist and not believe in the God of heaven, why, I won't have to use all of my other devices on them to gain them. So then, the devil comes along with the doctrine, no God. Oh, the devil, he comes along and he says there is no creator. That things just were brought about by mere chance. And the things that you see just go happen to be. And so that's the way the devil has deceived so many people. He doesn't believe in the divine creator, and he gets a lot of people to say, now, in the beginning there was, of course, no God, and there wasn't a thing but aerial nothingness. And he says, in the midst of all of this space, there was a little accumulation of something that started. And the devil's teachers, he comes along and says, this began to grow. And of course, this was the sun, and it got larger and larger, and it went around and around, and it got hotter and hotter, until after a while, a chunk of the sun flew off and went way over here in space and stuck, and that's the earth, and we're on it. Very reasonable. All right. Then they tell us that life started in the water. By a little small germ. Sometimes people say, where'd God come from? And they oftentimes want us to tell just exactly where God came from. Well, now, my friends, you tell me where this germ came from. But anyhow, this little germ got started from some source. And this little germ began to grow, and it evolved into a little sea monster, and it grew into a tadpole, and the tadpole reached the frog stage. And after a while, the frog, it grew into a larger sea monster until finally the thing crawled out of the water and took to the woods and climbed a tree and growed a tail about that long. So we one time were chimpanzees hanging to the top of a coconut tree. Now, that's atheism. Now, the devil says, if I can just get people to believe that, why, I'll gain thousands to my side. And listen, friends, you remember that your master one time said, seek to enter at the straight gate, straight the gate, and narrow the way that leads to life eternal, and few there be that find it. Again, Jesus says, for many are called, but few are chosen. Paul says, I preach the gospel to the many that the few might be saved. So there you've got it, few, few, few. How many is going to be lost, Lord? Let the Lord tell us.
Wide is the gate and broad the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. So you remember this, that in the final count, in the final analysis of the whole thing, the devil's going to have the majority and God's people's going to be in the minority. But why is the Lord's people going to be in the minority? Isn't God stronger than the devil? Surely he is, and he'll find us to do the devil. But the devil, my friends, working hard. He's working hard to gain everybody he can to his side. You know, there's a man one time that made this statement, and it's not slang. He didn't mean it for slang. He says, we all ought to get together and work like the devil. Well, you know how the devil works, don't you? The devil works day and night. And if all of us would work like the devil works, we'd gain a lot of souls. I remember reading in the Revelation letter where it says he accuses God's people day and night. He don't let up. There's no vacation for him. He's a working man. One old lady one time, she had something good to say about everybody, and somebody says, you can't say anything but good about the devil. She says, oh, yes, I can. Says he's an industrious old fellow. Let me tell you, the devil is certainly working at it, isn't he? Now then, you can see why the Lord's people are going to be in the pew. So atheism comes along, and he gets a lot of people for that doctrine. But when he sees people are going to believe in God anyway, then the devil comes along and says, I know what I'll do. I'll get them not to believe the Bible. I'll turn the world into a bunch of Albert Einsteins. Now, Einstein, he believed in God, but he was an infidel. There's a difference between an atheist and an infidel. Atheist doesn't believe in God, and an infidel, he doesn't believe the Bible. So, he says, I'll just cause everybody to not believe the Bible. But man, he begins to read the Bible. And, of course, the devil, he gets a lot of people, you know, not to believe the Bible. A few people don't believe in God. And then, of course, there's a number of people in the world that doesn't believe in the Bible. But, of course, there's a great number that does believe the Bible. And so the devil says, I've got to go to work on that thing. I've got to convince as many people as I possibly can that the Bible's not true. But after he fails to prove that the old book is true, untrue, why then what happens? He says, if I see they're going to accept it, I know what I'll try to do. I'll try to get them to believe just half of it. And so he goes to work at that. And so he succeeds in getting an awful lot of Jews in this world today on that doctrine right there. So he thinks like this, I'll get them not to believe the New Testament. Let them believe the Old Testament, but I don't want them to believe the New Testament. And you know, you can look about in our fair lands and see these Jewish synagogues with their great big dome buildings. Let me tell you, that group of people don't believe in your Lord and Master. They don't believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. They only think that he was just the mere carpenter of Nazareth. They don't believe in him. They don't believe in your Lord. Therefore, they believe that Jesus is an imposter. What's going to happen to a group of people like that? They're going to be lost. That's right. They're going to be lost. And I know they're going to be lost because Jesus said they're going to be lost. Jesus said this one time, whosoever believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth upon him. Whosoever believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, but whosoever believeth not the Son of God hath made God out a liar because he believed not the record that God had given of his Son. I want you to know, my friends, the Jewish people today who accept only half of the Bible, the Old Testament, and then refuse the New Testament, they're going to be lost because they don't believe in your Lord and Master. They believe that Jesus Christ is an imposter, so to speak. Well, the devil's sleep, you see. When he sees finally they're going to accept both Old and New Testament, he says, I've got to go to work on that thing. If I can get them to not believe just a few verses of it, well, then they won't be any better than any other infidel. So then the devil, he succeeds in getting a lot of people who says they believe both Old and New Testaments and not believe certain parts of the Bible. I can quote you a verse right now that the devil succeeded in getting a lot of people not to believe. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. How many people believe that? How many people in the world today who profess to believe the entire Bible believes that? How many people believe it? Tell you what you can do. You can go about in your own fair city right here, and you can take a census of the city of Sulphur, and I venture to say there'll be possibly a 90% or 75% to be conservative that actually don't believe that baptism is essential salvation, that baptism doesn't save us. Here's another verse. The devil comes along and gets people not to believe. that let your women keep silence in the churches if they'll learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it's a shame for a woman to speak in the church. But the devil says, well, that don't mean that. Well, a woman can speak in the church. And so the devil, he comes along and he gets people to not believe the Bible. You know, it's just small verse, just little verses here and there, you see. Now, if I don't believe all the Bible, I'm no better off than any other infidel. So the devil, he gets a lot of people like that, you see. All right. Now the devil, he's using every device that he possibly can. And folks, you'd better be aware and listen close to this sermon tonight. All right, then the devil says, now they're going to accept the whole Bible. And as they begin to accept the whole Bible, why the devil notices that the people, God's people begin to read in there, and they see the Lord's church in there, of course. They accept the church that they read out of the Bible, the Church of Christ. That's in the book, you know. You can read it in the book. But the devil says, well, I can't afford to let people believe in the church they read in the Bible. I'll teach people that that church is a non-essential. And so I'll get them to think that they can be saved upon their own morality. I'll get them to think that they can reach down and get themselves to the bootstrings and lift themselves clear to glory without the help of God, without being a member of the church. Folks, you know, you can just find an awful lot of people throughout the world today that say, well, I don't have to be a member of the church. And I've told people, I say, come out and hear me preach. And they'll say, well, I'm no murderer, I'm no thief, I'm no cutthroat, I haven't done anything wrong or anything like that. And I say, well, you need to be a member of the church. And I've had them boldly and bravely tell me, listen, whenever you walk in the gates of Pearl, they'll be right behind you. Be right behind you. There's one that Jesus died for, you see, of course, and you can't get him to see it. It's essential to be a member of the Lord's church. That heaven-born, blood-bought institution that Jesus died for on Calvary's cross, who loved it and gave himself for it. And then the devil comes along and he says, I'll get to the things that the church is non-essential. But after a while, people begin to read that it is an essential, that by one Spirit all are all baptized into one body, and that God gave Christ to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And they read that he's the foundation of that institution. He's the door. He's the savior. He's the head of it. He's the purchaser of that institution. People begin to read it, and they begin to believe it, of course. And the devil says, now listen, they're going to believe in that church yet. Now, lady, what I've got to do, I've got to substitute right here. I've got to do a little duplicating. I know what I'll do. I'll put out so many human man-made institutions. I'll fill the world full of denominations, and I'll hang the black drapery of denominationalism over that little old Church of Christ down there so much that they won't be able to see it, and I'll get them to be a member of man's churches instead of the Lord's church. And so he comes along with his denominations, and he fills the world full of human institutions, whether man-made creeds and man-made doctrines and their man-made names, and people begin to stand up and say that this church got as much salvation it is as the Lord's church. And so the devil, he wins them with the thousands. Oh, he's taking a great number right there. He got him a good number right here. He got a great number here and a great number here and a great number here, and he certainly took a big number right there. Now then, God's people keep reading their Bibles, and they see the difference between denominations. And so they tenaciously stick to the church that they can read in the Bible, but the devil says, I know what. If they're going to accept that Church of Christ that they can read off down there, I know what I'll do. I'll fill it full of innovations. There, I'll fill it full of innovations. So the devil, he goes about, you see, to fill it full of innovations. He goes about and he says, I know what I'll do. I'll install instrumental music again. I know what I'll do. I'll put instrumental music into it. And so he started to do that back in 670 by the Catholic people. Well, it was introduced then, and about the year of 800, it was reintroduced because the old king, they could easily see, the Pope could see that division was imminent back there, so they took instrumental music out and reintroduced it in the year of 800, which caused considerable trouble in the Catholic Church and even a split and a rift within it. By and by, the Church of Christ decided that they would take on instrumental music, all right, to be. They took on instrumental music back on about 70 years ago in St. Louis, Missouri. And so they brought it in. Of course, it split the Church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The devil, he laughed to know that he'd come along and he'd corrupted the Church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with innovations. Well, of course, there was a few that pulled out and would not accept those instruments of music into their worship. And so they segregated themselves over here and said, we're going to worship God in spirit and truth. The devil, he cast his eye in their direction, says, I'm coming right after you. And so he goes over there and says, look what I'll do. I'll install something that's unscriptural in there too. And what's he put in? He puts in his Sunday school. Comes right along, you see, he puts in Sunday school. And so instrumental music, it went in. Well, it was brought in, you might say, in about 700, we would say. And then here comes along Sunday school in about 1780. All right, the devil, he comes along and he puts that in. Divides the church into classes and puts women over those classes to teach the Bible. It's unscriptural. It's unscriptural. Folks, you can't read in God's Word where they ever came together, divided the church into classes, and where women could teach those classes. It's wrong. It's unscriptural. I know whereof I speak. I used to be a member of the Sunday school church. I used to hold up for those classes. I studied every argument I possibly could to stay with them. But whenever I saw my friends that everything was giving way from under me, and I saw I was standing on the sand instead of the rock, I stepped out. But the devil comes along and he's gained thousands of people. And people say, you know, what are you going to do without Sunday school? You folks don't believe in Sunday school. No, we don't believe in Sunday school. Well, how are you going to teach the little children? Oh, our Bible gives us a plan how to teach those children. It says, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And again, God's Word teaches us to teach our children as we sit by our fireside, and when we rise up early in the morning, when we walk by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up, it teaches every father and mother to teach their children. But people say, how do you folks teach your children? Well, you notice, brothers and sisters in Christ, that are people, whenever those little boys and girls come to the age of accountability, we baptize them into Christ. Yes, sir, we teach those little children. So we, the Church of Christ, my friends, that are represented here tonight, we believe that Sunday school is a non-essential, that it's an addition to God's Word, and it's an unscriptural thing. But somebody says, oh, Sunday school is a wonderful thing. Yes, it is. It's a wonderful thing. That's it. He said this in his book called 40 Years on the Firing Line. He says, I was the first man to introduce individual drinking vessels into the Church of Christ at Chattanooga, Tennessee in the year of 1915. Can't you see it's a brand new thing? It's a brand new thing, brothers and sisters in Christ. And I challenge everyone in this audience tonight to please go get your Bible. Please go get your Bible and don't get mad at me. And read your Bible and see whether or not that you can find in the New Testament instruments of music, Sunday school, and individual drinking vessels. Check and see. Please do. For your own soul's salvation. And see whether or not the devil's misleading you there. Of course, the devil, you know, he gets a lot of people to believe in cups. And he pulls another great number off after those things, you see. But the devil knows that there's a few that's going to still remain faithful and true, you know. And so the devil says, well, I'll tell you what I've got to do now. If they're going to stick with the Word of God and keep all of those ordinances just as they're delivered, there's but one other way I think that I can get them right now. And the devil says, I know what I'll do. I'll cause those folks to become worldly. I'll cause what few church members they are that are sticking so close to the ordinances of the Lord, I'll get them to become worldly. And oh, let me tell you, friends, you'd better be careful along that line. You'd better be careful along that line. I think that Brother Don McCord made a great statement one time when he said, we can tenaciously hold to the church and its organization and become very inert in charitable Christian living. Listen, folks, just because you're a member of the Church of Christ doesn't mean you have an abstracted title to home in heaven. You've got to live a godly life. You've got to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, so says the apostle. And Jesus says, love not the world. Again, James says, whosoever be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And Paul says, be not conformed to this world. And so there's verses like that all through the Bible. And let me admonish all of you Church of Christ members right here. Let me plead and beg with you, be careful. Please be careful. Be careful in your Christian living. Do not accept the questionable thing. Don't go to the questionable place and do the questionable things. But stick close to God's Word and live that godly, consecrated Christian life, because the devil's certain after every one of us. Now, the devil thinks like this. If they're not going to be worldly down there, I've got to do something to destroy the rest of them, because if some of them are not going to be worldly, they're going to keep the ordinances as they're delivered. What can I do? And so the devil says, I know what I'll do. I'll get them all in a big fight. I'll get them all hating one another. I'll cause a bunch of strife and division down there, and I'll split them up, and I'll tear them asunder down there. I'll get them to hating one another. And oh, the devil gets in a great number along that line. Sometimes people fall out over some of the most trivial things. I remember one time at a certain place where they split the church on account of a handshake. Can you imagine that? Yes, sir. One man squeezed a woman's hand a little too tight, and lo and behold, she didn't like it, and her husband went to him and talked to him, and they pulled off there, and first thing you know, they'd split that church because the man had squeezed her hand a little too tight. Can you imagine that? Yes, sir, that's the devil at work, you see. And so he wants everybody to hate one another, you see, and that's the way of the devil, that's one of his devices. Why, I'll tell you what, folks, the devil, he looks down upon us sometimes, imagine like this, and thinks, well, let them believe in their scriptural way of worship. Let them contend for that church of Christ. Let them try to keep those ordinances up. Cause so much confusion and division and strife among them, I'll split them asunder. And so then, you see, the devil, he comes along and says, well, there's just a few of them left now. I think I can get the rest of them. So the devil, he comes along and says, I'm going to discourage the rest of them. I'm going to cause so much confusion in what few that is left. I'm going to have them to fight and rain with so much distress that will become so discouraged they won't quit. And that lowers the Lord's number a whole lot more, you see. And then, last but not least, the devil looks down and says, well, they're up and down there not discouraged. They're not having a bit of confusion. They won't accept worldliness. They won't have no innovations. But I know what I'll do. I'll get them to neglect their duty. I'll get them to where they won't read their Bibles. I'll get them where they won't visit the sick. I'll get them to where they won't do all the corporal works of mercy laid down by Jesus Christ. And so people become so lazy that they go into torment. Did you know there's going to be a lot of lazy people go to hell? There's going to be a lot of people, my friends, cast into that terrible place called hell because they're idle. And I remember reading the scriptures where it says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. So, folks, I've just mentioned a few of Satan's devices. I've got a soul to save. I'm 46 years old. Nearing the chilly brink of death as I grow older and older. Might live to be 100, you can't tell. But I know this, that times are waging a perpetual warfare against this old structure that's taking it down in decay. And the closer I can get to my God each day, the better it's going to be for me. I'm taking things more serious than I used to. More serious. I just want a closer walk with God. I've got an immortal soul within this tenement of clay, and I'm going to do all that's in my power to save it. I'm going to pray and be in earnest about the thing. I'm going to live close to my God and try to set a good example before everybody. So in conclusion, lest Satan should get an advantage of us while we are not ignorant of his devices. Thank you.